But I want to, by the helping the grace of the Lord tonight, teach you something, preach you something, treat you something. I don't know. Brother Baggett, you know, he is an awesome teacher. He is a superb teacher. Blows me away. When he reads his title, and I'm thinking, where in the world is he taking that to? And then when he gets done, I'm going, dear Lord, have mercy. Why didn't I see that? David, I mean, I'm serious. Why didn't I see that? He just breaks it down so simple that even someone as slow as I am can get it. Amen. But I hope by the help and the grace of the Lord, I can leave something with you tonight. If you'll stand for the reading of the Word of the Lord, we're going to go to the book of Hebrew, chapter 5, and we're going to read a few scriptures, so bear with me, and then we'll have you sit down. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14. This is the one I want to kind of like dwell on. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use of their senses. Everybody say senses with me. Senses. Exercise to discern both good and evil. Everybody read 14 with me. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let's pray. Lord, we do love and appreciate you. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we get to have to stand in your presence tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint me, God, that something that I could say, Lord, that you could use me as a vessel that would strengthen, that would encourage someone here tonight, Lord. For we do love and appreciate you, and we ask everything in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. You may be seated. Amen. Senses. You know, we have five senses. I thank God, where's he at? There's he at. I thank God for all of my five senses. I'm going to do my very best, Sister Baggett, to behave myself. Is this being recorded so Brother Baggett can look at this? Oh, my goodness. I got to be really careful. I don't want to get in trouble. I'm a humorist. I love humor, love humor. Love to get people to laugh if you haven't already figured that out. But I don't want to overdo it because some things can be out of order, out of place. But we have five senses. And I want to kind of dwell on them. But before I go any further, Brother Steve, where you at? What time do I need to shut this down? What time does Brother Baggett shut it down, Sister Baggett? Okay, well, we are at 10 minutes till, I think that's 8. So anyway. We have got five senses. The first one that I want to work with here is sight. Aren't you glad you can see? I mean, really, aren't you glad? Can you imagine what it would be like if you could not see? I can't even imagine. You know, you get into a dark room and you turn the light on, you're going, oh my goodness, all of a sudden, you know, thank God for our cell phones because I flip that thing open, turn on my flashlight, and there you go. After some child showed me how to use it. So there you go. But aren't you glad you can see? And then when you just get a little glimpse, just a little glimpse of light, all of a sudden things starting to brighten up a little bit and you can see what's going on. But I thank God for sight. The definition of sight is the act or faculty of seeing what is seen or is worth seeing. A spectacle, a view, or a glimpse. A range in vision. I have bifocal glasses. So I can see really good far off, and then I can read really good up close. But when I take them off, I can see pretty good when I'm deer hunting afar off. But when I go to read, y'all are kind of like a blur. I still can see. I can still read that up there, but it's starting to fuzz a little bit. You know what I mean? That's part of age. But I thank God for my sight. Most of you have glasses, contacts. If you don't, you want to be thankful. If you're not 40, you're blessed, because let me tell you what, hello, it's coming. Unfortunately, it's coming. It's just part of life. When they always told me when I was growing up, you know, oh yeah, when you get 40 or so, you know, your eyesight's going to go. I'm going, you're crazy. Then my mother-in-law and Patsy's mother would go around talking about hurting in her back and hurting in her leg and talking about arthritis. I had no idea who he was. But he has become one of my best friends. He's always with me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. You know what I'm talking about. Sight. But I am so thankful. And I know you're thankful that you can see here tonight. Second Corinthians 5 and 7 reads, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith. We all have a measure of faith here. We walk by faith, not by sight. Because if we look at the things that are in this world, it will just tear you apart. Don't look at the things of the world. Look to Him. We walk by faith, not by sight. So don't let it scare you. Moving along to number two, hearing. The sense by which sound is perceived by the ear. My daddy is a World War II veteran. He's 91 years old. He was on the USS California. He's still alive. My wife and I live with him. Kind of like help him. Trust me, he does everything for himself. So when he's driving, you want to get out of the way. But he lost his hearing, most of his hearing. There was a kamikaze coming out of the sun. You know what a kamikaze is in his airplane? And, of course, they had men on the ship. Their job was to, they were gunners, and they were looking for these planes. They could hear him, but they couldn't see him, Brother David, because of the sun. And they finally caught sight of him just before he got to the ship. And they shot him, and the plane blew up and just threw gasoline all over the ship. And killed, well, burned about 90 men. Well, without thinking, he was in turret number one. There was 12 of them. And he was in turret number one. It shot them shells, I can't remember. I think it was 27, 24, 20-something miles. Size of a Volkswagen, just about. And when he ran out of that turret without thinking, he said he remembered slipping down in blood. He could hear them men, and he passed out. Hit his head real hard. And when he came to, he was in sick bay. They were talking about drilling his eardrums out, which I think they did. And then when he came to again, they were actually burying the men at sea because he was on top deck, he said, and he heard the gun shooting, and immediately the first thing he thought was run for shelter. But he realized they were burying those men at sea. So so he lost his, I told you all of that to tell you that he's lost most of his hearing. He's got two hearing aids. And I'm sure there's some of you here tonight that's got hearing aids, but aren't you thankful that you can still hear? If you didn't have those hearing aids, you wouldn't be able to hear. My wife tells me, and I'm sure your wives tell you, that you got selective hearing, and we all do. I see you back there, Brother David. We all have selective hearing. We hear what we want to hear, when we want to hear. But aren't you thankful that you can hear? Very important to be able to hear. Romans chapter 10, verses 10 through 15 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Or how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." How can you hear without the foolishness of preaching? Foolishness. Foolish. You know what foolishness means. Foolishness of preaching. But how can a man hear unless he hear the word of God being preached? The authentic word of God. The baptized in Jesus' name. Being filled with the power of the Holy Ghost by the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I believe with all of my heart, and I'll go to the grave believing that is essential. The Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking in other tongues, is essential. How shall they hear without a preacher? Brother Baggett, many, many, many other preachers out there. And you know, and I'm going to keep referring to myself, but when you accept the calling, you might as well just draw a big old bullseye on you, because let me tell you what, you're going to get hammered. You can just take it to the bank, because the devil knows that you taking a stand, and the devil don't like it. So like I said, and I'm going to say it again, Brother and Sister Baggett deserve a vacation. They deserve a vacation. And Romans 10 and 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Sister Toby this earlier in the prayer room was praying, and oh my goodness, the Holy Ghost was moving. You could feel the power of God in there. And she had got a hold. She had tapped in. She had plugged in that three prong into it. She was getting a hold of something. I was kind of envying her. When was the last time that we've plugged into God and got a hold of something, got a hold of what we've needed? I was on my way to work this morning, the Holy Ghost came into that truck, and I was praying about this tonight, and praying that, Lord, you know, I'm nothing, and I'm a nobody. I am, and telling everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm nothing. I'm just a speck. Lord, if you never do another thing for me, I can't complain. Did you know that Jesus is coming back? Do you see the signs of the times? Do you see the technology that we've got? It scares the daylights out. These new watches they're coming out with and all this stuff. You see them scanning things with it. God is coming back. He's coming back, and He's coming back soon. Sooner than we can imagine. Acts 19, 1 and 2 says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any. I ain't heard nothing. Whether there be a Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. When I hear something, I want to hear the word Holy Ghost, not Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost. Don't try to water it down. It's the Holy Ghost. They're trying to water it down. Is this all right? Number three, smell. And thank God I can smell. Whew. Crawfish. I went to Niblis Bluff the other day looking for a cousin of mine, and they were, I knew what they were doing before I even got close. I could smell them crawfish. My Lord have mercy. You know what good cooking smells like? When I went and had supper the other night with Brother Ken and Sister Toby, and she had made some spaghetti, and oh my goodness, where you are? There you are. Boy, that was good. She's a good cook, y'all. Dear Lord have mercy. I'm surprised Ken ain't no bigger than what he is. But I thank God I can smell. Aren't you glad you can smell? What would it be like if you couldn't smell? Oh, come smell of this. Boy, my mama could cook. Dear Lord, I could walk in there and whatever my mama cooked was superb. I never really realized she's gone now, just how good it really tasted. When mama cooked, buddy, it didn't matter. It was good. And she could throw something together so fast. Dear Lord, have mercy. I don't even know where she found it at. All four of us boys and my, where's she at? back there, Brother Steve's mother. She was telling me, she said, "Boy, you got a beautiful sister." I said, "Yeah." I said, "She's the prettiest sister I've got. She's the only one I've got. Thank God I only have one. I got three other brothers, but I'm glad I can smell." The definition of smell, the sense by which odors are perceived with the nose, a scent, odor, or stench, or a trace. And then there's things that we smell that, oh my goodness, have mercy. We got somewhere at the job, there's a dead rat. Yeah, it stinks. Trust me. And it's probably in one of them brand new walls. This is a brand new building, ain't but about a year and a half old. And you know what I'm talking about. Oh, and little Ariel, bless her heart. You know, it's just part of life. Ain't you glad you can smell that? Because if you couldn't, you'd be in the... When you did figure it out, it'd be too late. Hello? Think about it. You know, it's simple stuff here. I'm glad we can smell. I'm glad I can do all the other things I've already mentioned. I don't want to get ahead of myself without trying to mention something I've already mentioned. Ephesians 5 and 2 says, And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. When we get down on our knees and we get a hold of God, Sister Beckett, it sends up a sweet-smelling Savior to him. We can't comprehend it. We don't understand what he's saying. But he is smelling something that he enjoys smelling. We don't understand what that smell is, but he understands it. He desires it. That's what he wants out of us. He wants us to get on our knees, find that place with him, plug into it like Sister Toby did, and we send up a sweet-smelling Savior that, like I said, only God understands what it's all about because it's all a mystery. But he loves it, and that's what he desires out of us. Can you say amen? That is what God desires out of us. Moving on to number 4, touch. To come in contact with, especially with the hand or fingers, to reach, to affect with emotions. You know, when someone does something to their spinal cord and they can only feel from the neck, can't feel from the neck down, can you comprehend stepping on a thorn and not being able to feel it? Have you ever stepped on a thorn before? Oh, let me tell you what. Or burnt yourself. You see that right there? That was a stupid mistake on my part after many years of painting and sandblasting. Right before I got of it, I nailed that dude with a blasting hose at about 130 pounds of pressure. And it was might as well burn it. It was ground meat. It don't bother me now. It just looks awful. It's a reminder. It's a scar. It's a reminder. It don't hurt no more, but I ain't forgot about it. I promise you, I haven't forgot about it. The touch. I'm thankful that I can reach and touch something. And in the dark, I can touch something and feel and kind of comprehend what I'm feeling here, you know, feel my way along, you know. What if you couldn't do that? What if you couldn't feel from the neck down? What if you couldn't taste? What if you couldn't hear? What if you couldn't smell or see? I'm going somewhere with this, I promise you. So just bear with me. But I'm thankful that I can touch. I'm thankful that God can touch me. I'm thankful that God can touch you. Just like he touched Sister Toby tonight. Who did these flowers? Did Sister Baggett do these? Pam? Sister Pam. Did a beautiful job. That is awesome. By saying that, I hope it touched her. Because that's beautiful. I admire things in the church. I admire the beauty of the church. I admire all of it. I admire the musicians. I admire the music. I admire the teaching. Go back there in the PA booth, whoever runs that, all that media and all that stuff, I appreciate that. I admire y'all. We can't do it. The church can't run without everybody working together. We have all been touched by each other. Touch. I mean, there's so many different directions I can go with that. I mean, this thing right here. Brother, I wish, see, he always manages to, I'm going to get him back. I promise y'all, y'all can just take it to the bank. Anyway, I'm not going to be mean. I would never disrespect Brother Gidrose. There's no way. We just got an understanding. I'm not going to put him on my shoulders either. Might pull him in a wagon, but I ain't going to try to care. But just got a pretty short point on this thing here. I can touch that point. And I guarantee you if I grabbed Brother Peter around and popped him with that thing, you would not feel that. You'll see? No, probably end up hurting me for it's over with. But aren't you glad you can touch? Mark 16 and 8 says, they shall take up serpents, and if they... Now, wait a minute. Careful here. No. No, 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 no. Let me tell you what. Me and snakes don't get along at all. They go one direction, and I go the other. I don't care what it is. King snake, chicken snake, I'm the chicken. But let me... Mark 16 and 8. Let me read this. Am I right? Yeah. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall touch them. They shall, Brother Steve and Brother Doucette laid hands on Sister Toby, and they touched her. It's scriptural. They laid hands and touched her. But it was according to her faith. Rather she received, it wasn't Brother Steve or Brother Valentine or Brother Doucette. It was according to her faith. But they lay down, they touched her. How many times has Jesus touched you? And you not even known about it? You ever thought about, have you ever just been doing something at work or something at home and all of a sudden you just got to get a little pick-me-up? And you recognize, oh my Lord, the Lord, somebody praying for me. That's what I see. That's what I recognize. When I get that little burst of energy, like, you know, it's not good to drink those things, but those monster drinks and stuff, I used to drink them. And you, not good for your heart. But anyway, you get a little pep, you know, all in your step. All of a sudden you think, man, somebody is, Lord, whoever that is, bless them. Y'all ever recognize that? I know you do, Brother Steve. I do too. And I appreciate whoever's praying for me. I do appreciate it so much. So much. But I'm thankful that I can touch and feel. Number five, our fifth one, is taste. Thank God I can taste. The sense by which flavors are perceived. Whew. You can blindfold somebody and put an onion on their tongue, they can smell it before you, or even garlic, they can, put salt and pepper, just all the good seasonings and stuff. You know, I lived up in Indiana for 20-something years, and bless their hearts, Now, my wife knew how to cook. My mother-in-law knew how to cook Southern food, trust me. But there's other people up there, dear Lord, have mercy. They didn't know what seasoning was, and that was long before, Yeah, you got everything up there now. Of course, they don't have Bluebell, but they even started getting Bluebell ice cream up, the normal, real things, But their main thing, down here is rice. Up there is mashed potatoes. We have rice with everything. They have mashed potatoes with everything up there, dear Lord, have mercy. It's bland. You better bring something along with you. It's getting where now they know how to cook, too, I remember me and Patsy first got married. She went out and found a crawfish. She don't remember this, but she found a crawfish hole and pulled a crawfish out and boiled it for me. Come home from work, she said, I boiled you a crawfish. I'm going to get in trouble for all this. Am I doing okay? Y'all enjoying this? I hope so. But I'm glad I can taste. I used to not be a big eater. You can ask my wife. It's just here lately. Y'all going to think I'm crazy, but it's just here lately that I enjoy pizza. Couldn't stand the smell of melted cheese. Oh, my Lord. I hated walking into McDonald's when they were cooking. It's just something about the odor, but I love pizza. I crave. Can you believe that? that. I crave. I'm thank God, Brother Steve, I can taste. Aren't you glad you can taste? And Brother Ken can, man, he can fry some mean fish, dude. I guarantee you. It tastes good. I love my watermelon. Oh, I'm telling y'all. Aren't you glad you can taste? Can you imagine what it would be like eating and not being able to taste anything? Have you ever thought about it? Not being able to taste nothing? Okay, perfect example. Have you ever drank some coffee or something hot and burnt your tongue? Well, you can't hardly taste nothing after that. You really don't want to. But that probably is just a little tip of the iceberg of what it would be like to not be able to taste. Psalms 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." You remember the first time you received the gift of the Holy Ghost? You remember the first time you got the Holy Ghost? Lord, have mercy, I remember. Oh, I remember. 1970. Oh, Lord, that was in the other. 1970. I cried like a baby. I felt so good. It tasted so good. The purest thing I have ever tasted in all of my life. It was so tasteful. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that tasteth, that trusteth in Him. Throw that title up there, sister. This is the title of my message. Do you have the sixth sense? Told you I was going somewhere with this. You've got the five. God gave you the five when you were born, if everything was working correctly. Some people, it just, you know. But you got the five. Do you have the sixth one? I'm talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. Because when you get the Holy Ghost, and I'm probably going to get ahead of myself here, but when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the ones that God gave you in the flesh, all of a sudden, they amplify. The things that you used to taste, you don't taste no more. The things you used to see, you don't want to see no more. The things you used to hear, you do not want to hear them anymore. You do not want to smell the smell of smoke, the smell of alcohol. When you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, everything is amplified. All five of your senses. God gave us a sixth sense, and with the sixth sense, it overpowers the natural senses and takes on a whole new effect. I remember when I first got the Holy Ghost, and you know, I was a young man. I hadn't had a job yet or nothing. And I might make a few dollars here, a few dollars there, or I'll get some dollars off my brother's dresser, you know. Thank God for my oldest brother, Wallace. I tell you what, he always left me some change and some bubble gum. Always, always, always. And he knew I took his change, Brother Steve. He knew I took his juicy fruit. Because he left it there, never said a word about it. But when I got the Holy Ghost, Sister Baggett, something little old tugging started touching me. Hey, you need to pay your tithes. Well, I ain't but 50 cents. Don't make no difference how much it is. Something touched me. What was it? Him. Something, I recognized that touch. Why? Because my senses were intensified. That fleshly sense of touch and taste and hear and see and feel and all that, all five of them, that's fine and dandy, but when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, when you truly receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, there is no ifs, ands, and buts about it. There's something changes in you. You become a completely different person. The power of God takes over your life. You allow God to take over you. The Holy Ghost will lead and it will guide you. You can see the things you never could see before. Am I making sense at all? I'm trying to tell you something tonight. We all need the Holy Ghost. We all don't need to speak in tongues. We all need to. If you're here tonight and you don't have the Holy Ghost, it is joy unspeakable. Thank you. Say it again. Full of glory. It will give you a sense of direction if you will let it. The Holy Ghost actually enhances your senses, or in other words, develops your senses. See, you still got your senses. You've had them all along, but they never really developed. And there's many, many, many other aspects to it that I'm not even covering, that when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, what God can do for you. It's amazing what God can do for you. When you get full of the Holy Ghost the way you're supposed to, you don't want to hear the things you used to hear. You don't want to touch, handle, or play with the things you used to. You don't want to taste the things you used to take or drink or smoke or whatever goes along with those things. The smell. Do you know that sin even has a smell? You don't want to smell those things anymore? Back to my daddy. When my daddy was on USS California, he took up smoking. My daddy signed his life away when he was, I think it was 19. He was drafted, you know. And he was on the ship for 2.5 years, I think it was. It was as big as a city on that ship. They had everything. But there was only a certain parts of the ship that he could go. And he was assigned to. But he took up smoking. And my daddy said, and I've talked to my daddy since my mother's passed away. I've gotten really a chance to really, really get close to him and talk to him and learn a lot of things I didn't know. And he was smoking 3 or 4 packs a day. And my mother told me that of a night, this is before my daddy got the Holy Ghost, before my mama got the Holy Ghost. So my daddy would get up with a flashlight and go crawl out in the yard in the middle of the night looking for a cigarette butt. That's how bad it was. If you smoke here tonight, I don't want to know who you are, but just listen to me. Let me tell you what God can do for you. Chain smoker, Sister Baggett. That's a lot of cigarettes. Can you imagine what that was costing today's money? 4 packs a day? I don't even know what a pack costs. $10? I don't want to know. If you know. But the night that my daddy got the Holy Ghost, and it's still right there on Boone Street. Everything is. I don't remember who the preacher was now. Brother Gewin, one of those that came through there in DeQuincy. He said he got the Holy Ghost and he knew something was different. He said he went home and Mama had got the Holy Ghost at Brother O'Brien's and Starks. Go figure. And he said he lit up a cigarette, and my mama saw him light up that cigarette. She said, I hope that thing makes you sick. It made him so sick. It literally made him deathly sick, throwing up sick. He never touched another one, has never touched another one. We're talking years, y'all. And not too long ago, he's got asbestosis. And he went to the doctor and they did some x-rays and stuff on him and said, Mr. Manuel, this is probably 8 or 10 years ago. So said, if you don't stop smoking, Mr. Manuel, said, your lungs, and they showed him his x-ray. They're charcoal black. He said, sorry. He said, I haven't smoked in 30, 40, 50 years. And well, you can tell me what you want to, Mr. Manuel. If you don't, he said, look, buddy, I'm telling you, I haven't smoked. And that means, he said, well, Mr. Manuel, if you hadn't stopped smoking when you did, you'd be a dead man. But God took those cigarettes away, just like that. That's what God can do for you, if you want it, if you desire it. Am I doing okay? You know what God can't do? Does anybody here tonight know what God cannot do? He cannot fail. He can do anything, but he cannot fail. He will not let you down. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He will not put nothing on you that you cannot bear. That he does not make a way of escape. That's the kind of God that I serve. And God is good all the time. All the time. Give him a good hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. I'm getting down to the very bottom here. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you?" 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So tonight I ask you, do you have the sixth sense? I call it the sixth sense. Do you have the Holy Ghost tonight? Do you need the Holy Ghost tonight? Do you desire the Holy Ghost? Because Acts 2:38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, to repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children, and those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." So he has never stopped. It's never stopped. It ain't going to stop till God stops it. Did you know that God's coming back? Do we know that there's a hell along with there's a heaven? In closing, I read something. I wish now I'd have brought it. It was someone either died and went to hell or had a dream and went to hell. But they said they got down there and something was taking them through hell and everything, and they come up to some of the friends that they knew, and one of the Sunday school teachers was down there and said that she literally picked up fire in her hand and put it in her mouth and said she blew fire so far that it almost singed me, and said then they started screaming for water. I can't even comprehend. Have you ever thought about hell? You know, the older I get, the older I get, Brother Valentine, the wiser I get. I think about heaven and hell on a daily basis. When you're young, you don't think about dying. You don't think about heaven. You don't think about hell. You think about living. And today that we live in, people don't even give thought of tomorrow. They don't even consider tomorrow. No, tomorrow hasn't come. But it may not come. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And we're going to go either one place or the other. I desire to go to heaven. I desire to make heaven my home. Do you not desire to make heaven your home? Amen. I appreciate the Lord tonight. I hope and pray. Dear Lord, I hope somebody's got something out of this tonight. You all know you got five senses. We all need the Holy Ghost. Would you stand with me tonight? Again, we do love and appreciate all of you. I guess I should have called the singers up, but I didn't. I love the Lord tonight. I appreciate, again, Brother Baggett allowing me to stand in his pulpit. This is a sacred desk. And I hope and pray to God that I have said something tonight that has stirred your heart, that has touched your heart. Lord, we do love and appreciate you, and we thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. We thank you.